Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. We're glad that you are here for worship. A few announcements we'll make as we get started today. We'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person when you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started. And we do ask when it comes back to that first person, please tear out the pages that were used today. And our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Reminder about a couple of things. We are having children's time today. I invite our kids to come down and join David for just a few moments. Also, a couple other scheduling reminders. There will be no book club tomorrow or the Bible study. So no Monday morning Bible study, no book club. Make note of those things. Book club will meet next Monday. Okay. Also, this week, we are in the ending time of all the summer ministry. And we only got a couple weeks left. This is children's elementary day camp. We start that tomorrow morning. It goes through Friday. There are some openings available. It's going to be a great week together. We and children, kindergarten through fifth grade are invited to join us for this day camp. Let me see. Next, the last several weeks, we have been meeting about, as a church, on some Wednesday nights about what's happening Wednesday night in our youth ministry. We are needing lots of people to play parts in our new ministry. We are having our first training session next Sunday from 12 until 1:30. So right after church, we will meet down in the youth room. If you're interested in being a part of that training, I need to know that you're coming so we make sure we provide lunch for you. Let me know. I'll also send out an email this week. You can reply to that. And we look forward to that training session next week. Stepping Stones Ministry, that's something you'll see in your bulletin. It's a possibility for the house that we have, and we're looking to use it for this particular ministry. They will be here this Wednesday night to tell you a little bit about their ministry, what they do. We invite you to come and be a part of that time together. Krista.
Just wanted to mention a few things, especially one in particular. September the 26th through October the 2nd, we are going on a fall foliage tour, those who can go. We have a group of people that are going. It's on a coach. We have a few places left. We need to go ahead and have a few more sign up, which actually enables the group to go with the company that's taking our group. And if you have a friend, if you'd like to go, you'll be well taken care of. It's a good thing. And you can see Ken Hatchett. He's coordinating that, and so he's doing a great job. But be sure to see. You can also talk to me, and I'll put you in touch with Ken, or just call the church office. But it promises to be a wonderful adventure for those who can go, and a time of good fellowship and of appreciating God's world and beauty. Also, August the 17th through the 21st, there's a group of us that are going to Caswell for the conference there for senior adults. Last year, it was very outstanding. The programming, everything was great. And so we're going back again, and that's the 17th through the 21st. Remember this group in prayer. Our house is full at this time, but you could put your name on a waiting list if you're interested. Charles Edwards is the best person to speak to about that. Also, September the 17th, we start back with College Parkers, and we have a barbershop quartet and hot dogs. Can't beat that. So anyway, good to see you all.
Thank you, Krista. Many of you know Dylan Rollins. Dylan is a recent graduate at Appalachian State University. He started coming here way back when we went to the Bahamas on the high school mission trip. He came a couple of months ago and talked to the church about what's going on in his life and where he's headed over the next year. And we want to give him an opportunity to come introduce himself and talk a little bit more about what's going on with him and the exciting opportunity he has and how we can join in with him. Dylan, come on.
All right. Well, if you don't know already or you haven't had the chance to meet me, my name is Dylan Rollins. I'm going to be interning with Campus Crusade for Christ, as many of you would probably know it, called now the U.S. ministry is called CREW. In Boston, I'll be working in the Northeast Regional Operations Office and using the degree that I got from Appalachian State, which is in commercial photography, to make media that is going to help with that office with its goals over the next couple of years. I have been tasked, as many missionaries are, for different organizations, if you've supported people that are working with Wycliffe or something like that, with raising my own support for the upcoming year. And this Saturday is my goal to leave by. August 1st is kind of the starting point for getting things started on a campus ministry schedule, and that's my goal to leave by then. The support is not in yet, but I'm just going forward in faithfulness and making this this ask to my church family. I could ask, this is the way that I won't ask, because I think that it would be a bit of a disservice for the support that God has already provided. You could look at it as a two-handed ask of me saying, please help, please give me funds, please provide for this thing for me. But the way that I'm going to ask you to partner with me is the same way that Jesus asked people to partner, is with one hand and saying, won't you come with me and see what God is going to do with this ministry in the next year. So where are we going, Dylan? Well, we're going to Boston. That is where the regional office is for CREW, that is handling things for the vision, the scope of 550 campuses over the Northeast region and 2.3 million college students. A rosy figure might be to say that 1.5 million or so of those college students do not identify themselves as Christians. The Northeast office has the plan to increase over the next 2 years the number of chapters of campuses that have an active chapter of Campus Crusade from 84 to 150. But right now, there's no one to make the media that makes that plan help come into fruition. So my goal is to leave soon. If you want to partner with me and want to come on that journey, I'll be sending out monthly email updates and letter updates to people that are on my ministry team to let them know what's going on. If you want to come and be a part of that, then you can do that with checks made out to CREW, CRU, or Campus Crusade for Christ. You can give them to me. You can give them to the church office. If you don't have anything now, you can come and talk to me after the service. My cell phone number is in the church directory. You can call my cell phone. I will gladly drive anywhere, meet anybody in person, answer any questions that you may have, etc. Thank you.
Before you go, this is I get to do this because I'm the minister of announcements, and I want us. He is headed to Boston this week to share the love of Christ. We need to bathe him in prayer. And so what I'd like for us to do just now, just take a few moments to let you know that the finances are going to come, the encouragement, the emails, they're going to come, because Christ's Spirit has already gone before you. And we want to pray, and we want to continue to pray for all the time that he is up in Boston. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, because it's only in your presence that we have the strength to do what Dylan's about to do. You have called him, and I thank you for his willingness to answer that call, the willingness to stand up, to stand up for you. I pray for his strength. I pray for his courage. I pray for his steadfastness, that he would trust you with every step that he takes. Every dollar that is received would go back into your ministry, that people will come to Christ because of what you're doing through his life. May he not fear. May he trust in you for everything that he has. May you be glorified. May you be honored by his sacrifice. And he does it because of Jesus' sacrifice for him and for us. May we be reminded that everywhere we go is a mission field, and we can serve you just as Dylan is. We ask that the finances, that you would pave the way for that to happen. We know that already has. We ask that those who are able to give can do so. Those who are able to pray can do so. And Father, we give you the glory for what you're going to do through Dylan. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are a guest with us this morning, you've gotten a little bit of a picture of what College Park's about. We want to give some more information to you. If you're a guest, we'd like for you to just raise your hand. You just gave us information on the pew pad a moment ago. We're thankful for that. But if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers are going to give something to you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet is a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. If we have our eyes open and our ears open, how clearly is God speaking to us today? How much does he want to get our attention? Aren't we thankful that he's alive? We don't serve a God who's somewhere off. He is in this place. That is something to be celebrated and cherished. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the example of so many of your children who have stood up to be counted among those who follow you. Father, on this day, may we be reminded that we are the church when we serve others in your name. May we come this day prepared to hear a word from you, ready to go to be your hands and your feet wherever you call us. May your spirit be in this place. Speak to us. Hear us as we worship. In Jesus' name.
invite all the children to come down if you haven't come down already. All right, it looks like everybody's here. Good morning. Y'all can move closer. I'll brush my teeth, I promise. You know, come on, come. Guess what we're going to talk about today? What was that? No. Yeah, I'm sure this time we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about something that I read. It was a story I read. It was the coolest story ever that I've read so far in my life, and I'm old, really old. So, who likes picnics?
Oh, no!
Well, this story was about a big picnic.
That fell on top of school.
No, it didn't fall on top of school. That's weird. Well, Jesus was teaching one day, and these people came and was listening to him. There was about, I think maybe 10. No, there was more than 10. There was probably maybe 100. No, let's maybe 5,000.
Oh, I know.
5,000 men. That was just men, not counting the women and the children. So there was more than 5,000 people who came to listen to him speak. So he spoke and he was teaching, and come dinner time, they were still there. And you know how you get when you're in church a long time, you get hungry about lunchtime. So can you imagine how hungry they were at dinner time? They'd been there all day and nothing to eat. Well, the disciples were like, told Jesus, you need to let them go get something to eat. And, you know, he's like, huh? Yes, sir. Hey, you come up here. You take my spot anytime. And so he told him no. He said, we'll feed them. We'll find them. He's like, how can we feed them? We have nothing. Well, one of the disciples brought this kid up. He had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yep. Now, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of y'all would get a loaf of bread. Now, how are we going to divide the 2 fish? So do you think that's going to be enough to feed? That's not enough to feed y'all hungry little, and I've fed y'all before. I know y'all can eat. I've done that. So, you know, God, hold on. Jesus told them to have them all sit down and just start handing out. Well, he got the food, and he blessed the food. He thanked God for the food. And I want you to know, all 5,000 of those people ate till they were full and had leftovers. Can you believe that? 12 baskets. Why am I even here? Why do you pay the intern? Everybody knows, you know. So 12 baskets. Isn't that an amazing story? Doesn't that show you how amazing Jesus and God really is? Yeah, you know, it's unbelievable what they can do. Isn't that a story you would want to tell all your friends? And go out and spread the word. So I'm going to challenge every one of you to go out and tell at least one of your friends this story, and many more that you can find about how amazing God is and Jesus is. Okay? So you want to pray with me? You want to pray with me? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for showing us how amazing you are, and just the amazement that you can give and show. All I can say is amen. Thank you.
That just ties in beautifully with where we are in our scripture reading today. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Would you bow with me in prayer? We do kneel before you in spirit today, our Heavenly Father, We come before you and praise you that you look upon us with such great love, mercy, and compassion and forgiveness, and that you extended your grace to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master, and our King, so that we could come into personal relationship with you, that we might be forgiven and walk and move and live and have our being in that forgiveness. We thank you, Father, that we can be close to you. You can be our, not only our majestic, awesome, immeasurably loving Lord, but you can be our intimate friend and counselor and guide and Father, our spiritual daddy, upon whom we can call day or night. Dear Heavenly Father, we just can't measure you. We are so used to things we can see and touch and feel and know and count. But there's no way to measure what you have given to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no way to hem in your love. There's no way to know it all. So we trust ourselves to the mystery that you are. And we receive your grace in Christ today. Yet again, refreshing ourselves in your presence. And we thank you for the power that you put to work inside of us that we may serve you and love you and that we may know you. And help us to remember that we could never know all the wonderful plans you have for your children. But as we trust you and serve you and submit ourselves to you and give ourselves to you, we can walk in the fullness of the realization that you are going before us, preparing the way, providing for us as we serve you, that your blessings are with us, and that you will provide for your children whatever the needs may be. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us, even when we are unfaithful. Thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
You pray with me. Lord, we thank you for life, and we thank you for abundant life that you have promised us when we believe in you. We thank you for this church, for the members who have served so faithfully. We thank you for those who are searching for you and pray that they will find answers. We thank you for new believers. We know that you offer us many ministry opportunities. And we praise you that Dylan has said yes to the opportunity to go to Boston. We pray that you will make us alert to other opportunities that you present to us individually and as a church. At this time, we return a small part of the financial blessings that you have given to us. We pray that you will bless this to be used to further your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
title of the sermon is Feed Me. Feed Me. And when David was telling the story that I'll read in just a moment here with the children a few minutes ago, Troy was sitting beside me over here, and before the service started, he had told me he had a loaf. He had a loaf of bread over there. It's like zucchini bread or something like that, persimmon bread or something. And as David was telling the story, I kept getting hungrier and hungrier. And I looked over there, I noticed Troy kept pulling that closer and closer to him. And I looked there one time, he put it on the other side of him, and I thought, Troy, man, wait, you know, share a little bit, brother. But he's got plenty. He said, we'll pray for a miracle, and everybody will have a little bite of loaf there. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to read that text in just a moment. But as we were talking about worship, and the ladies back here were encouraging us and giving thanks for the fact that in our order of service, we print the words and all of that so you can basically follow along as we worship. Mary and I spend a great deal of time, believe it or not, in worship planning and in preparation. And part of that effort of planning is selecting the hymns that we'll sing on Sunday morning, both the songs in recreation as well as the songs in here, the hymns in here. And we try to pick the hymns based on our scripture passage. What is our focus in worship going to be thematically? Where are we going in worship? So we take that into account. We also take into account the season of the church year, the liturgical year, not whether it's Halloween or what, you know, the liturgical year, all right? We also consider the flow of worship as we move from praise to thanksgiving to reflection to invitation or response. And believe it or not, we take into account the hymns that you like. Some of you are so kind to include those on the back of your offering envelope as you put them in the offering plate. We get word about those, and so we try to factor that in. And we do that because we ask ourselves, do they want to sing this hymn? Do they enjoy singing this hymn? Is it something that is meaningful to people, and why is that? And it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference what sort of hymns that you like, because those are the ones that draw you into participating in worship. Rather than being a spectator, you are a participant in worship. Now, some people say, well, I can participate in worship whether I sing or not because I don't sing well. Well, the Bible doesn't say sing well. It says make a joyful noise. So that should be of great comfort to all of us. But we factor all of that into the process. And while it may be a fair question to say, do we like those hymns? An even more basic question that we rarely ask is, does God like that hymn? You say, well, God likes all hymns. Maybe, maybe not. I can tell you that there are a handful of hymns that I could name, but I won't, that we don't sing intentionally because they're just bad theology. I mean, we're not going to sing them because they're bad theology. Yes, there are a few of those out there. And of course, the question of whether God likes a hymn or not can be frightening. Frightening not only because it's bound to lead to many answers. We're Baptists. You ask a question, there are at least as many opinions as there are people present. Okay? So it can be a little bit frightening on that regard, but also because it is such a basic question. Is God pleased by this hymn? Is God pleased by our worship? You see, ultimately, that's the question. Is God pleased with us? Who are we aiming to please? Who did Jesus aim to please? You see, he ran away a lot more than he attracted because he wasn't concerned with pleasing man or women, mankind. And that brings us to our story today. We'll tie it all together for you. But John chapter 6, read me with me if you will. There should be a pew Bible there if you don't have your Bible with you. But John chapter 6, we will read the story that basically David told so well with the children, and then we'll continue on a little bit from there. This is our lectionary reading. I'm always indebted to those who give me thoughts and pondering points. William Willimon is one of my favorite as he writes a little bit about this story. Several other resources, including the Interpreter's Bible, speak directly to this passage and some really good insights that we'll get to in just a moment. Verse 1, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have just a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." And Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It's I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Now, this is a well-known story, and it is a story about Jesus, but it's also the story about a crowd. In verse 2, it says a large crowd kept following him, just kept following him. And you say, well, can there be a surer sign of success than this? Who can argue with the numbers? I mean, look at all these people that are following him. Bottom line, he had a large crowd. Jesus had the first mega church. He did. He did. He was so popular. And then John tells us why they were following him. It says in verse 2, they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Now, he was healing. He was healing the hurting multitudes. He met their needs. Curiously, though, Jesus does not continue to meet their needs, because the very next verse, in verse 3, it says, Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down with his disciples. You see, even a dedicated minister, whether ordained or all of us, we are all ministers, even dedicated ministers called to action sometimes need a break. They just need a temporary respite from meeting all the needs, which the needs never stop. And Jesus looks up from his mountain retreat and once again, saw a large crowd coming toward him in verse 5. He could have said, "Really? Really?" But he didn't. Instead, he decided to have a little fun. I think he was having a little fun with Philip. When he asked him, "Philip, how much do you think it's going to take to cater a meal for all of those people? What do you think it's going to cost?" Scripture tells us he asked him basically just to kind of test him, because he already knew what he was going to do. That's an insight into the mind of Christ. He already knew what he was going to do. But Philip said, "You know, 6 months' wages aren't even going to give him a snack. I hate to imagine what it would cost to do much more than that." But then they found this boy who had a few loaves and a couple of fish, and Jesus commands the people to sit down. He takes the food, he blesses it, and you know the story. And we learn from this that Jesus, once again, is the compassionate one who feeds the hungry, hurting multitudes. And we've all heard that sermon. Jesus is the compassionate one who meets our needs. And after all, isn't that why we're here today? We're all hoping to have our needs met by Jesus. But pause for just a moment and note that the story does not end here. It doesn't end with Jesus feeding the multitudes. It goes on. It tells us the people are understandably impressed, as would any of us have been. And they said, this Jesus must be quite a prophet of God who has come into the world. They exclaimed this. They screamed it out. They were excited. Now, surely Jesus is gratified by their exclamation. Surely at last they appear to have gotten the point. After so much rejection, the people began to finally see who Jesus is and proclaim him as Lord. And at last the Jesus movement is getting somewhere. Surely he's impressed by all of this. No, 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 and no. Jesus rejects their acclamation. Verse 15, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. By himself this time. Well, if you were reading this story for the first time, I bet you wouldn't see that part coming. That didn't make any sense. Right at the point where people have finally accepted Jesus, they have acclaimed him for who he is, at least who they think he is, he vacates the area. He said, no. He leaves the crowd and all the acclaim. He leaves all of that and goes to be alone. Why? Why did he do that? He withdrew precisely at the point where his coronation was going to begin. Why? The people need bread. Jesus had given them bread. They acclaim him as king. What else could he possibly want? Do you remember back at the beginning, not Genesis, at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry? He goes out in the wilderness, and what happened there? He was tempted. He was tested. Satan shows up and he tests him. He offered him this world, heaven too. One of the things he said, make those stones into. Jesus refused. Why is it? Because Jesus doesn't like bread? No. Is it because Jesus didn't think bread was good? No. Isn't feeding the hungry self-evidently good? Well, sure it is. So why did Jesus refuse? And why, when he did feed people, was he so put off by their calling him king? You see, something in Jesus recognized that he could not meet all the needs of so many people who are clamoring after him without at the same time denying who he was and who he was called by God to be. You see, in the wilderness, Satan tried to transform Jesus into just a wonder worker, into a magician of sorts. And Jesus said, no, that's not who I am. That's not what I am to be about. You know, and now Jesus, in our story, has given bread, and when the grateful crowd attempt to crown him king, Jesus says, no, that's not, that you've got the wrong idea. And when the crowds, as the story, go back and read it this afternoon, great story about what happens the next day. When the crowds catch up to him once again, Jesus rebukes them for caring only about their bellies because they ask him for a sign, perhaps hoping for another free meal, you know. But Jesus refuses. And instead, does something really curious. He kind of begins this discourse about the bread of life. The bread of life. And where he identifies himself with what they truly need. Their response? Said, well, some of them that were following said, you know, this teaching is very difficult. Translation, it's not what we want to hear. It's not what we want to hear. And it says many of them stopped following Jesus after he stops giving them bread and now says that he is their bread from heaven. It's not what they wanted to hear. So they quit following him. You see, Jesus refused to do for the crowd what they wanted, as if to do so would be forsaking his vocation. Instead of asking, Jesus, what will you do for us? Maybe we should ask, Jesus, who are you? And what is your mission? And what is your desire for my life? You know, I confess, as I thought about this week, I thought, you know, why do we come to church? We've talked in previous Sundays about the fact that we are the church. So why do we gather together? And I thought about several things. Maybe we come together because the encouragement we draw from one another helps us to get through the week. You know, some weeks maybe it's just like, huh, or helps recharge us to send us out the next day. Maybe sometimes we come together because we're battling demons of our own, you know, and we've got struggles that we're working on. And so we come together and in that time we get this inner peace. God speaks to us in this place maybe a little differently. Maybe we sense it more. I don't know. Maybe we come together and we seek guidance. Guidance on making difficult decisions that we know are before us. And I'm sympathetic to all of those things. I really am. Because I've been there myself. You know? But note in this story, in our story today, which first seems to be about us and our needs, before it's all done with, it's really a story about Jesus and about who he is. We come to church thinking mostly about ourselves, but the scripture talks mostly about God. And I think that's why we get this story. That's why it was included. Will we learn that it's not about us, it's about God? Christianity, following Jesus, is not merely another means of helping us to get what we want. Rather, following Jesus is the means whereby God gets what God wants. You see, Jesus cannot be enlisted as just another helpful therapeutic device to enable us to get what we want before we meet Jesus. As a matter of fact, the gospel implies that we don't even know what we want or need before we meet Jesus. As well-known pastor William Sloan Coffin was tickled to read a comment he had this week based on this passage. He says, you know, it's really interesting because we want to attract people to the gospel, but in order to attract them to the gospel, sometimes we offer them a kind of a selfish motive. But yet at the heart of the gospel, it's unselfish. What makes us think we can do that? What makes us think we can appeal to the selfish nature of people by presenting the gospel, which in and of itself is unselfish? One of my former youth from East Flat Rock, a fellow named Jay Adams, I'm really proud of, he's a good young man. He's now a pastor in Hendersonville, works a great deal with the rescue mission there. Great young man, really proud of him, in case I haven't said that before. But recently he captured this sentiment in one of his Facebook posts. He wrote this, quote, "If you want people to leave happy, preach your best life now. If you want them to leave holy, preach the gospel." Wow. I called him, I said, "Dude, you nailed it, man. Awesome. Preach the gospel. Preach Jesus." John says that Jesus performed a great miracle feeding hungry people, but not so much a miracle as a sign, something that points beyond itself to something much more greater, some truth much more important than the sign itself. You see, the bread blessed and given for the people was a sign that God was among them, but not among them as fulfillment of all their heart's desires, here, their needs, but present as God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Savior of the world. You see, this God was even greater than their hunger. This God was there to be worshiped, to be obeyed, to be followed, even when the following didn't appear to meet their needs. So church, listen. Listen and learn. Even as we gather as the body of Christ, even as we gather as the church each Sunday, let me challenge us to do so for the purpose of worship. Worship God. To obey. Obey God. And to follow. Not to focus on our needs. Not to focus on how the church can meet our needs. For ultimately, focusing on getting our needs met places us ahead of the one in whose name we have gathered. And doing that makes us guilty of idolatry. We don't want to see it that way, but that's the reality. So again, let us meet together to worship. Let us meet together to obey. Let us meet together to follow the Christ who loves us so much. Let's pray together and thank Him. Gracious Father, You loved us so much that You gave Your Son, Jesus Christ, to teach us about Himself, who He was, but also to teach us about who You desire for us to be. So, Father, we thank You. We thank You for this truth from Scripture that reminds us it really is not about us. Father, it's all about You. As Teresa played, the heart of worship, it's all about You, Jesus. It's all about You. Father, we thank You for the chance to gather together. But we pray that You would challenge us each and every time that we do, that You would attune our hearts to You so that our worship is about You. And in doing so, Father, we know that You're going to take care of our needs. You've promised that in Scripture. So we know that. So help us to focus upon who You are and what You desire from us. And all the other stuff will take care of itself. We thank You for the promises of Your Word. We thank You for the love that sent Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not have that relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, the invitation is very clear. You need to settle that. That's the most important decision you'll make in your whole life. It determines eternity for you. It's that important. I'll be here in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing. And as we sing, if you'd like to speak with me about your relationship with Christ, I'll be here. And I invite you to come and talk with me. If you can't come today or you just can't bring yourself to come, speak with me afterwards or maybe in the morning. I'd love to talk with you about that. If you're here and you are a believer, but somehow you kind of got off track and you say, Raymond, I'm off track. I want to get back on what God desires for me. You don't have to tell me that. You square that with God right where you're standing, or I'll be glad to pray with you if you'd like that. If you are here and you say, well, I'd like to be a part of this church. This is the church. It's not the building. It is the people. And we are the body of Christ, and we love to serve together and worship together. We invite you to be a part of that. There are a number of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. following the benediction and response, I'm going to have Dylan come up here and stand with me at the conclusion of the service. Come by and speak a word of encouragement to him. Tell him your name to where he can begin to put, if he doesn't know you as well as others, he can put your name with your face. And so when he gets your emails, tell him you're praying for him. He'll be able to remember what you look like. Offer a word of encouragement to him. Offer a word of encouragement to each other as we go from this place. And be sure and greet our guest. Got a lot of things to do after the benediction, don't you? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. What a joy it is to be here. Father, we pray that in our gathering time, in our time of worship, that you would be pleased because our purpose is about you. We come to praise you and thank you and worship you. Father, we love you, and we pray that as we go from here, that our thoughts, our actions, our deeds, all of that would reflect who you are in our lives. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.